Chapter 21. The Nine Rings.
Rand expected the common room to be empty since it was nearly supper time, but half a dozen men crowded one table, dicing among their jacks of ale, and another sat by himself over a meal. Though the dicers carried no weapons in sight and wore no armor, only plain coats and breeches of dark blue, something about the way they held themselves told Rand they were soldiers. His eyes went to the solitary man. An officer with the tops of his high boots turned down and his sword propped against the table beside his chair. A single slash of red and one of yellow crossed the chest of the officer's blue coat from shoulder to shoulder, and the front of his head was shaved, though his black hair hung long in the back. The soldier's hair was clipped short, as if it had all been cut under the same bowl. All seven turned to look as Rand and the others came in. The innkeeper was a lean woman with a long nose and graying hair, but her wrinkles seemed part of her ready smile more than anything else. She came bustling up, wiping her hands on a spotless white apron.
"Good evening to you."
Her quick eyes took in Rand's gold-embroidered red coat and Celine's fine white dress.
"My lord, my lady, I am Maglin Madwin, my lord. Be welcome to the Nine Rings. And an Ogier. Not many of your kind come this way, friend Ogier.
Would you be up from steading Tsofu, then?"
Loyal managed an awkward half-bow under the weight of the chest.
"No, good innkeeper. I come the other way, from the Borderlands."
"From the Borderlands, you say? Well. And you, my lord, forgive me for asking, but you've not the look of the Borderlands, if you don't mind my saying it."
"I'm from the Two Rivers, Mistress Madwin, in Andor." He glanced at Celine. She did not seem to admit he existed. Her level look barely admitted that the room existed, or anyone in it.
"The Lady Celine is from Kyrian, from the capital, and I am from Andor."
"As you say, my lord."
Mistress Madwin's glance flickered to Rand's sword. The bronze herons were plain on the scabbard and hilt. She frowned slightly, but her face was clear again in a blink.
"You will be wanting a meal for yourself and your beautiful lady and your followers. And rooms, I expect. I'll have your horses seen to. I've a good table for you right this way, and pork with yellow peppers on the fire. Would you be hunting the Horn of Valir, then, my lord? You and your lady?"
In the act of following her, Rand almost stumbled.
"No. Why would you think we were?" "No offense, my lord. We've had two through here already, all polished to look like heroes, not to suggest anything of the kind about you, my lord, in the last month. Not many strangers come here, except traders up from the capital to buy oats and barley. I'd not suppose the hunt has left Ilion yet. But maybe some don't think they really need the blessing, and they'll get a jump on the others by missing it."
"We are not hunting the horn, mistress."
Rand did not glance at the bundle in Loyal's arms. The blanket with its colorful stripes hung bunched over the Ogier's thick arms and disguised the chest well.
"We surely are not. We are on our way to the capital."
"As you say, my lord. Forgive me for asking, but is your lady well?"
Celine looked at her and spoke for the first time.
"I am quite well."
Her voice left a chill in the air that stifled talk for a moment.
"You're not Kyrian and Mistress Madwin," Huron said suddenly.
Burdened down with their saddlebags and Rand's bundle, he looked like a walking baggage cart.
"Pardon, but you don't sound it."
Mistress Madwin's eyebrows rose, and she shot a glance at Rand, then grinned.
"I should have known you'd let your man speak freely, but I've grown used to."
Her glance darted toward the officer, who had gone back to his own meal.
"Light, no, I'm not Kyrianin. But for my sins, I married one. 23 years I lived with him, and when he died on me, the light shine on him, I was all ready to go back to Lugard. But he had the last laugh, he did. He left me the inn and his brother the money when I was sure it would be the other way round. Tricksome and scheming, Baron was, like every man I've ever known. Kyrianin most of all. Will you be seated, my lord, my lady?"
The innkeeper gave a surprised blink when Huron sat at table with them. And Ogier, it seemed, was one thing, but Huron was clearly a servant in her eyes. With another quick look at Rand, she bustled off to the kitchens, and soon serving girls came with their meal, giggling and staring at the lord and the lady, and the Ogier, till Mistress Madwin chased them back to their work. At first, Rand stared at his food doubtfully. The pork was cut in small bits, mixed with long strips of yellow peppers and peas, and a number of vegetables and things he did not recognize, all in some sort of clear, thick sauce. It smelled sweet and sharp, both at the same time. Celine only picked at hers, but Loyal was eating with a will. Huron grinned at Rand over his fork.
"They spice their food oddly, Carrion and do, Lord Rand. But for all that, it's not bad."
"It won't bite you, Rand," Loyal added.
Rand took a hesitant mouthful and almost gasped. It tasted just as it smelled, sweet and sharp together, the pork crisp on the outside and tender inside, a dozen different flavors, spices, all blending and contrasting. It tasted like nothing he had ever put in his mouth before. It tasted wonderful. He cleaned his plate, and when Mistress Madwin returned with the serving girls to clear away, he nearly asked for more the way Loyal did. Celine's was still half full, and she motioned curtly for one of the girls to take it.
"A pleasure, friend Ogier."
The innkeeper smiled.
"It takes a lot to fill up one of you. Katrin, bring another helping and be quick."
One of the girls darted away. Mistress Madwin turned a smile on Rand.
"My lord,
I had a man here who played the bittern, but he married a girl off one of the farms and she has him strumming reins behind a plow now. I couldn't help noticing what looks like a flute case sticking out of your man's bundle. Since my musician's gone, would you let your man favor us with a little music?"
Huron looked embarrassed.
He doesn't play, Rand explained. I do.
The woman blinked. It appeared lords did not play the flute, at least not in Kyrian.
I withdraw the request, my lord. Light's own truth, I meant no offense, I assure you. I'd never ask one such as yourself to be playing in a common room.
Rand hesitated only a moment. It had been too long since he had practiced the flute rather than the sword, and the coins in his pouch would not last forever. Once he was rid of his fancy clothes, once he turned the horn over to Ingtar and the dagger over to Matt, he would need the flute to earn his supper again while he searched for somewhere safe from Aes Sedai.
And safe from myself? Something did happen back there. What?
I don't mind, he said. Huron, hand me the case. Just slide it out. There was no need to show a gleeman's cloak. Enough unspoken questions shone in Mistress Madwin's dark eyes as it was. Worked gold chased with silver, the instrument looked the sort a lord might play, if lords anywhere played the flute. The heron branded on his right palm did not interfere with his fingering. Celine's salves had worked so well, he hardly thought of the brand unless he saw it. Yet it was in his thoughts now, and unconsciously he began to play Heron on the Wing. Huron bobbed his head to the tune, and Loyal beat time on the table with a thick finger. Celine looked at Rand as if wondering what he was.
I'm not a lord, m'lady. I'm a shepherd, and I play the flute in common rooms.
But the soldiers turned from their talk to listen, and the officer closed the wooden cover of the book he had begun reading. Celine's steady gaze struck a stubborn spark inside Rand. Determinedly, he avoided any song that might fit in a palace or a lord's manor. He played Only One Bucket of Water and The Old Two Rivers Leaf, Old Jack's Up a Tree, and Goodman Prickett's Pipe. With the last, the six soldiers began to sing in raucous tones, though not the words Rand knew. We rode down to River Irelel, just to see the Tyran come. We stood along the river bank with the rising of the sun. Their horses black the summer plain, their banners black the sky. But we stood our ground on the banks of River Irelel. Oh, we stood our ground. Yes, we stood our ground. Stood our ground along the river in the morning. It was not the first time that Rand had discovered a tune had different words and different names in different lands, sometimes even in villages in the same land. He played along with them until they let the words die away, slapping each other's shoulders and making rude comments on one another's singing. When Rand lowered the flute, the officer rose and made a sharp gesture. The soldiers fell silent in mid-laugh, scraped back their chairs to bow to the officer with hand on breast, and to Rand, and left without a backwards look. The officer came to Rand's table and bowed, hand to heart. The shave in front of his head looked as if he had dusted it with white powder.
Grace favor you, my lord. I trust they did not bother you, singing as they did. They are a common sort, but they meant no insult, I assure you. I am Aldrin Caldwin, my lord. Captain in His Majesty's service, the light illumine him.
His eyes slid over Rand's sword. Rand had the feeling Caldwin had noticed the Herons as soon as he came in.
They didn't insult me.
The officer's accent reminded him of Moraine's, precise and every word pronounced to its full.
Did she really let me go? I wonder if she's following me, or waiting for me.
Sit down, Captain, please. Caldwin drew a chair from another table. Tell me, Captain, if you don't mind. Have you seen any other strangers recently? A lady, short and slender, and a fighting man with blue eyes. He's tall, and sometimes he wears his sword on his back.
I have seen no strangers at all, he said,
lowering himself stiffly to his seat.
Saving yourself and your lady, my lord.
Few of the nobility ever come here.
His eyes flicked toward Loyal with a minute frown. Huron he ignored for a servant. It was only a thought.
Under the light, my lord, I mean no disrespect, but may I hear your name? We have so few strangers here that I find I wish to know every one.
Rand gave it. He claimed no title, but the officer seemed not to notice. And said, as he had to the innkeeper, from the Two Rivers in Andor.
A wondrous place I have heard, Lord Rand. I may call you so? And fine men, the Andermen.
No Kyrianin has ever worn a blademaster's sword so young as you.
I met some Andermen once, the captain general of the Queen's Guards among them. I do not remember his name, an embarrassment. Perhaps you could favor me with it?
Rand was conscious of the serving girls in the background, beginning to clean and sweep.
Caldwin seemed only to be making conversation, but there was a probing quality to his look.
Gareth Bryn.
Of course. Young to hold so much responsibility.
Rand kept his voice level. Gareth Bryn has enough gray in his hair to be your father, Captain.
Forgive me, my Lord Rand. I meant to say that he came to it young.
Caldwin turned to Celine, and for a moment he only stared. He shook himself, finally, as if coming out of a trance.
Forgive me for looking at you so, milady, and forgive me for speaking so, but grace has surely favored you. Will you give me a name to put to such beauty?
Just as Celine opened her mouth, one of the serving girls let out a cry and dropped a lamp she was taking down from a shelf. The oil splattered and caught in a pool of flame on the floor. Rand leaped to his feet along with the others at the table, but before any of them could move, Mistress Madwin appeared, and she and the girl smothered the flames with their aprons.
I have told you to be careful, Catrin,
the innkeeper said, shaking her now smutty apron under the girl's nose.
You'll be burning the inn down and yourself in it.
The girl seemed on the point of tears.
I was being careful, mistress, but I had such a twinge in my arm.
Mistress Madwin threw up her hands.
You always have some excuse, and you still break more dishes than all the rest. It's all right. Clean it up and don't burn yourself.
The innkeeper turned to Rand and the others, all still standing around the table.
I hope none of you take this amiss. The girl really won't burn down the inn. She's hard on the dishes when she starts mooning over some young fellow, but she's never mishandled a lamp before. I would like to be shown to my room. I do not feel well after all.
Celine spoke in careful tones, as though uncertain of her stomach. But despite that, she looked and sounded as cool and calm as ever.
The journey and the fire.
The innkeeper clucked like a mother hen.
Of course, my lady. I have a fine room for you and your lord. Shall I fetch Mother Caradwaine? She has a fine hand with soothing herbs.
Celine's voice sharpened.
No, and I wish a room by myself.
Mistress Madwin glanced at Rand, but the next moment she was bowing Celine solicitously toward the stairs.
As you wish, my lady. Lyden, fetch the lady's things like a good girl now.
One of the serving girls ran to take Celine's saddlebags from Huron, and the women disappeared upstairs. Celine stiff-backed and silent. Caldwin stared after them until they were gone, then shook himself again. He waited until Rand had seated himself before taking his chair again.
Forgive me, my Lord Rand, for staring so at your lady, but grace has surely favored you in her. I mean no insult.
None taken, Rand said. He wondered if every man felt the way he did when they looked at Celine. As I was riding to the village, Captain, I saw a huge sphere. Crystal, it seemed. What is it?
The Carianan's eyes sharpened.
It is part of the statue, my Lord Rand, he said slowly.
His gaze flickered toward Loyal. For an instant, he seemed to be considering something new.
Statue? I saw a hand and a face, too. It must be huge.
It is, my Lord Rand, and old,
Calderwin paused.
From the Age of Legends, so I am told.
Rand felt a chill. The Age of Legends, when use of the One Power was everywhere, if the stories could be believed.
What happened there? I know there was something.
The Age of Legends, Loyal said. Yes, it must be. No one has done work so vast since. A great piece of work to dig that up, Captain.
Huron sat silently, as if he not only was not listening, but was not there at all. Calderwin nodded reluctantly.
I have 500 laborers in camp beyond the diggings, and even so it will be past summer's end before we have it clear. They are men from the Foregate. Half my work is to keep them digging, and the other half is to keep them out of this village. Foregaters have a fondness for drinking and carousing, you understand, and these people lead quiet lives.
His tone said his sympathies were all with the villagers. Rand nodded. He had no interest in Foregaters, whoever they were. What will you do with it? The captain hesitated, but Rand only looked back at him until he spoke.
Galdrian himself has ordered that it be taken to the capital.
Loyal blinked.
A very great piece of work, that. I am not sure how something that big could be moved so far.
His Majesty has ordered it, Calderwin said sharply. It will be set up outside the city, a monument to the greatness of Carrion and of House Riotan. Ogier are not the only ones who know how to move stone.
Loyal looked abashed, and the captain visibly calmed himself.
Your pardon, friend Ogier. I spoke in haste and rudely.
He still sounded a little gruff.
Will you be staying in Tremoncien long, my Lord Rand?
We leave in the morning, Rand said.
We are going to Carrion. As it happens, I am sending some of my men back to the city tomorrow. I must rotate them. They grow stale after too long watching men swing picks and shovels. You will not mind if they ride in your company?
He put it as a question, but as if acceptance were a foregone conclusion. Mistress Madwin appeared on the stairs, and he rose.
If you will excuse me, my Lord Rand, I must be up early. Until the morning, then, grace favor you.
He bowed to Rand, nodded to Loyal, and left.
As the doors closed behind the Kyrianen, the innkeeper came to the table.
I have your lady settled, my lord, and I've good rooms prepared for you and your man, and you, friend Ogier.
She paused, studying Rand.
Forgive me if I overstep, my lord, but I think I can speak freely to a lord who lets his man speak up. If I'm wrong, well, I mean no insult. For 23 years, Baron Madwin and I were arguing when we weren't kissing, so to speak. That's by way of saying I have some experience. Right now, you're thinking your lady never wants to see you again, but it's my way of thinking that if you tap on her door tonight, she'll be taking you in. Smile and say it was your fault, whether it was or not.
Rand cleared his throat and hoped his face was not turning red.
Light. Egwene would kill me if she knew I'd even thought of it, and Celine would kill me if I did it.
Or would she?
That did make his cheeks burn. I thank you for your suggestion, Mistress Madwin.
The rooms?
He avoided looking at the blanket-covered chest by Loyal's chair. They did not dare leave it without someone awake and guarding it.
We three will all sleep in the same room.
The innkeeper looked startled, but she recovered quickly.
As you wish, my lord. This way, if you please.
Rand followed her up the stairs. Loyal carried the chest under its blanket. The stairs groaned under the weight of him and the chest together, but the innkeeper seemed to think it was just an ogre's bulk, and Huron still carried all the saddlebags and the bundled cloak with the harp and flute. Mistress Madwin had a third bed brought in and hastily assembled and made up. One of the beds already there stretched nearly from wall to wall in length, and had obviously been meant for Loyal from the start. There was barely room to walk between the beds. As soon as the innkeeper was gone, Rand turned to the others. Loyal had pushed the still-covered chest under his bed and was trying the mattress. Huron was setting out the saddlebags.
"Do either of you know why that captain was so suspicious of us? He was, I'm sure of it."
He shook his head.
"I almost think he thought we might steal that statue the way he was talking."
"Deus de Mar, Lord Rand," Huron said. "The great game. The game of houses, some call it. This Caldwin thinks you must be doing something to your advantage or you wouldn't be here. And whatever you're doing might be to his disadvantage, so he has to be careful."
Rand shook his head.
"The great game? What game?"
"It isn't a game at all, Rand," Loyal said from his bed.
He had pulled a book from his pocket, but it lay unopened on his chest.
"I don't know much about it. Ogier don't do such things, but I have heard of it. The nobles and the noble houses maneuver for advantage. They do things they think will help them, or hurt an enemy, or both. Usually it's all done in secrecy, or if not, they try to make it seem as if they're doing something other than what they are."
He gave one tufted ear a puzzled scratch.
"Even knowing what it is, I don't understand it. Elder Haman always said it would take a greater mind than his to understand the things humans do, and I don't know many as intelligent as Elder Haman. You humans are odd."
Huron gave the ogre a slanted look, but he said,
"He has the right of Deus de Mar, Lord Rand. Cariennan play it more than most, though all southerners do."
"These soldiers in the morning," Rand said, "are they part of Caldwin playing this great game? We can't afford to get mixed in anything like that."
There was no need to mention the horn. They were all too aware of its presence. Loyal shook his head.
"I don't know, Rand. He's human, so it could mean anything."
"Huron?"
"I don't know either."
Huron sounded as worried as the ogier looked.
"He could be doing just what he said, or... That's the way of the game of houses. You never know. I spent most of my time at Carrion in the Foregate, Lord Rand, and I don't know much about Carrion and nobles, but... Well, Deus de Mar can be dangerous anywhere, but especially in Carrion, I've heard."
He brightened suddenly.
"The Lady Selene, Lord Rand. She'll know better than me or the Builder. You can ask her in the morning."
But in the morning, Selene was gone. When Rand went down to the common room, Mistress Madwin handed him a sealed parchment.
"If you'll forgive me, my lord, you should have listened to me. You should have tapped on your lady's door."
Rand waited until she went away before he broke the white wax seal. The wax had been impressed with a crescent moon and stars.
"I must leave you for a time. There are too many people here, and I do not like Caldwin. I will await you in Carrion. Never think that I am too far from you. You will be in my thoughts always, as I know that I am in yours."
It was not signed, but that elegant flowing script had the look of Selene. He folded it carefully and put it in his pocket before going outside, where Huron had the horses waiting. Captain Caldwin was there too, with another younger officer and 50 mounted soldiers crowding the street. The two officers were bareheaded, but wore steel-blacked gauntlets and gold-worked breastplates strapped over their blue coats. A short staff was fastened to the harness of each officer's back, bearing a small, stiff blue banner above his head. Caldwin's banner bore a single white star, while the younger man's was crossed by two white bars. They were a sharp contrast to the soldiers in their plain armor and helmets that looked like bells with metal cut away to expose their faces. Caldwin bowed as Rand came out of the inn.
"Good morning to you, my Lord Rand. This is Elric Kane Tavalin, who will command your escort, if I may call it that."
The other officer bowed. His head was shaved, as Caldwin's was. He did not speak.
"An escort will be welcome, Captain," Rand said, managing to sound at ease.
Fain would not try anything against 50 soldiers, but Rand wished he could be certain they were only an escort. The captain eyed Loyal, on his way to his horse with a blanket-covered chest.
A heavy burden, Ogier.
Loyal almost missed a step.
I never like to be far from my books, Captain.
His wide mouth flashed teeth in a self-conscious grin, and he hurried to strap the chest onto his saddle. Caldwin looked around, frowning.
Your lady is not down yet, and her fine animal is not here.
She left already, Rand told him. She had to go on to Carrion quickly during the night. Caldwin's eyebrows lifted.
During the night? But my men...
Forgive me, my lord Rand.
He drew the young officer aside, whispering furiously.
He had the inn watched, lord Rand, Huron whispered. The Lady Selene must have gotten past them unseen somehow.
Rand climbed to Red's saddle with a grimace. If there had been any chance Caldwin did not suspect them of something, it seemed Selene had finished it.
Too many people, she says, he muttered.
There'll be more people by far in Kyrian.
You said something, my lord.
Rand looked up as Tavalin joined him, mounted on a tall, dust-colored gelding. Huron was in his saddle, too, and Loyal stood beside his big horse's head. The soldiers were formed up in ranks. Caldwin was nowhere to be seen.
Nothing is happening the way I expect, Rand said.
Tavalin gave him a brief smile, hardly more than a twitch of his lips.
Shall we ride, my lord?
The strange procession headed for the hard-packed road that led to the city of Kyrian.